This is CliffCentral.com.
In the wilderness, he's lost, and bitterness.
Soul Brother Number One. Mr. James Brown coming through with a song simply named It's a Man's World. And we were actually discussing it off air as, like, he's saying it's a man's world, but yep, it would mean nothing without a woman or a girl. So, James Brown, what are you actually saying? Like, should where do you stand?
It's a man's world, but without women, it's not really a man's world. It's like... It's something else.
It's weird, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's odd.
It's like, man,
you can't have it without women.
The unfortunate part is,
well, you can, but you, it's you not know, as nice.
Yeah, it won't be. The world will look pretty shit without women. I'm sorry. All right. I mean, it's unfortunate the man has passed on, so we can't really call him up and ask, you know, what did you mean
when you wrote that? Yeah.
You know,
All we've got now is what's in our heads, what we can think about it, really.
Yeah,
our different perspectives is what I mean. So,
in fact, I think that was the perfect song to kick off the show because we are going to be a bunch of guys talking about women's issues. Like, this is going to be interesting. Okay, we're gonna basically be giving our opinion as far as what, you know, women are concerned. Like, what should men be doing right or differently, or, you know, are women our equals as they should be in 2016? What still needs to change? I mean, last week we were in the studio and we basically kept quiet for the whole show.
Yeah.
And we let three phenomenal women just go ham. And I mean, they started the show, they ended it. I mean, they killed everything. They spoke about almost everything that comes with being a woman. So I think it's our turn to, you know, give our two cents worth.
Along with that, I suppose, you know, in terms of men's rights, what's missing? Because, I mean, we enter this world, I think, very entitled.
Extremely.
I've never felt beneath anybody, really.
Yeah.
Or beneath women. Like, I've never felt like I'm lower than women.
Yeah.
But there are issues that we face as men and things that aren't being spoken about.
Yeah.
So that as well is very crucial to the conversation.
So yeah, we're going to be breaking down some of those things. If you want to be part of the conversation, please do join us on the number 0861-555-189 on Twitter at CliffCentral.com, at VanGiven, at Jack_5'4" with the hashtag SuitUpEdition. Facebook, Cliff Central, WeChat ID, Cliff Central. And if you want to send a message on WeChat, all you need to do is tap connect and then message to show. Okay, so Van Given, you brought two of your friends into the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Loud opinionated motherfuckers. So
yeah.
Let me bring these heads into the studio. Jared and Jimmy. Jared Ace and Jimmy Muyaha.
Aha. Good afternoon, gentle brothers.
How's it?
Good afternoon.
How is everybody?
Well, there's two of us here, but we're good. We chilled, right? Thank you so much for joining us, man. Where do we kick this off? Let's start with the home, everyone's home.
You okay?
Right?
Yep.
Is there, according to you gents, is there a difference between a woman that has been raised by a man and a woman that has not been raised by a man? Can we just start with that one? Does it count? Does it matter?
I think it does. Obviously, they're not going to get the same learnings from those figureheads in the house. I don't know which way to swing in terms of saying which one would be more rugged, but there are traits that you learn from, softer traits that you learn from women that you wouldn't get necessarily from a man. It depends what kind of father it is you had. He might be the 360 kind of father where he would teach you how to be a lady, but also show you that the world is vicious and you need to be a savage as well. You need to go out there and slay. But yeah, I think definitely there's a difference. You would know. You do know.
I don't know if there'd be a difference. I think if you're, I mean, we come from, we are living in a time where there are a lot of single parents. And I think if as a parent, you've just got a good balance of how you're parenting your kids, I don't think it would make so much of a difference whether that's a single father or a single mother. I think, if you've got a good balance that you're striking as a parent, as a disciplinarian, as a guide, as all the other roles that parents play, then I don't see why it should should make such a difference. If I think if you've got a good balanced home, even though it's only one parent, you can still have a good balance in the home. And I think that's what will make a bigger difference, I think, than whether you're raised by like a single mother or a single father.
Let's talk about how it's been portrayed before. I know you've seen this movie. Remember the Titans? Remembering the Titans.
Remember the Titans.
Those little girls. One of them had raised by a dad, single parent, and the other girls had two parents. But I mean, the way they were portrayed in that movie, they were very different.
Extremely different. I think as well when you look at the race part of that film, it played a large part in how those girls were perceived. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The girl with who only had a father was
more domineering.
She was like a
more aggressive.
She was a tomboy kind of thing.
Yeah.
But
sports.
That also goes back to whether or not people are born gay or they just decide to live that lifestyle. You know what I mean? Like that just could be the personality that she has. Some women are really, you know, domineering and they want to be out there. They want to, you know, they balls out kind of girls. I know that was the wrong metaphor, but you know what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean?
Can't say ovaries out.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But I mean, at what point do we differentiate, man? Is it because of her upbringing or is it just because of the person that she is?
Yo, it's difficult, man.
I don't think it's for us to decide.
Yeah, okay.
We have nothing to do with what somebody decides. You know, I mean, obviously, I don't believe that it's a decision.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not for us to sit and
to sort of stamp on and say, okay,
yeah,
this is...
Yeah, it's like, you are a tomboy, or you are a this, and, you know?
I'm thinking now it would have been very interesting, or it would be interesting to hear how Casta was as a little girl, like what type of young girl she was.
She was, yeah.
Yeah, that would be very interesting to sort of find out. But yeah, I've never really asked women that I've dated and fucked.
Yeah.
You know, who raised you? How were you raised? But...
Well, did you ever have that moment whereby you dated a girl and you at some point found out that she only has a dad? Or doesn't have a dad, and you thought to yourself, makes sense.
No.
So, okay. I think we can put this one to sleep. Yeah. It really doesn't make a difference.
It doesn't. It doesn't make a difference. I mean, you're dating the person, even though eventually you're dating their parent, really.
Yeah.
You become who you were raised, partly.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference.
Okay. But I mean, you know... most people would like to think that, you know, the first woman any guy falls in love with is his mother. And for women, it would be the first guy she falls in love with would be her dad. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, well...
Did it make a difference to you? Because, I mean, I come from an all-female household. I was raised by just women.
Technically, yeah. Same here. You know, I think...
Do you think you'd have been a different man had you been raised?
For me, I think it would have shown. Like, I would be completely different. I wouldn't be as sympathetic or empathetic with some of the things that I hear about. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like women give men, not the softer side, but they introduce us to a softer side.
Yeah.
It's almost as if we go to women to find out that it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to be... you know, sad, and show that you're sad, and show that you've got emotions. I might be wrong, but
it's not every man that will show you. It's not every household also that will show you that. Instead of holding that, the food that you have in your hand, you can put it in a plate. Like those traits, sometimes you don't pick that up.
Yeah, you don't.
It's not something that you necessarily. So I think having been raised solely by women, I came out different. There are certain manly or masculine aspects that I'm not attracted to.
Yeah,
that I don't know about is what I'm saying. Cars, for instance, I don't give a damn about cars. I'm just like, okay.
It's just a car.
It's just a car. Whereas my girlfriend would be like, oh, and my mother even, I don't know where she got it from.
Mm.
they're very into cars and they understand their vehicles and all of these things. But I don't have that trait in me.
Okay, then like should there be things that men are into and women are into? Like should there be like a straight line down, you know, between women and men? Like, okay, just women should like, you know, nail polish and wada wada, and guys should just like cars and stuff.
No, I don't think so at all. Because, I mean, then you start saying, like, okay, when can I not go and... Because then, as a man, now I need to feel somehow bad about myself if I'm going to the store to get my girlfriend tampons or pads or something. It's like, no. I mean, it's a necessity. I'm at the shop. I shouldn't have a problem with getting things like this.
And it's also the start of your gender stereotypic roles. Because then we start going into the thing of saying, okay, so now then a woman's place is in the kitchen and a man's place is in the car garage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's if we're going to break those things, then why is it a problem if Jared buys his girlfriend tampons?
Yeah, I mean, how far are we?
Because she needs them. No, the reality is she needs them.
And she does.
That's the thing is, guys. Some guys go out there and you see a guy buying tampons and you're disgusted by it. And why does that disgust you? It doesn't disgust you when you have sex with her, but suddenly when she's got things that she's going through, you're disgusted by the fact that she needs tampons.
Yeah. And I mean, there's no guy that has dated women that does not know about periods. Like, there is no way.
And there is no woman that, well, I'd like to think there's no woman that hasn't gone through that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Women go through, it's not like you're going to find a woman and be like, oh wait, you don't have periods every month. So, you know, like, it's not written on a woman's face. And even if it is, I mean, it's not avoidable.
Yeah.
Periods are, like, not avoidable as well.
Like an early morning boner.
Yeah. We can't help it. But it just happened.
I think, like, going back to the kitchen and the garage thing, in my house, I cook every night. I enjoy cooking.
And he's amazing.
I enjoy cooking, so I cook.
He's not as great as, like, his girlfriend at cooking.
Just watch yourself. Just watch yourself. The next time you come over, you feed yourself. But, I mean, it's the same sort of thing. I enjoy cooking, so why shouldn't I cook? If I like to cook, I'm going to cook. And it doesn't... And it's not only, oh, I'm going to braai every day. No, I mean, I like to cook.
Yeah.
So why can't men cook?
I experienced a very interesting thing a couple of weekends ago. A bunch of guys were sitting around just braaiing, you know. There were no women. But they had the thought to make a salad.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow. Oh, my God. You guys made a salad?
Yes.
There was no women around. But you had that mindset. Because, I mean, that's something that I suppose you...
Because the assumption is men make the meat, women make the salad.
They make the salad.
Right? Mm. So why can't we make our own salad?
But that... I'm thinking about something else. But, you know, that combination of having that thought to say, okay, this is something that's that should be part of the meal was just like, wow, mind-blowing for me.
I think, you know what, it's like instances like those.
Yeah.
I feel like those things should be in the past, like so far back that it shouldn't be weird or funny anymore.
It shouldn't be a thing.
It shouldn't be a thing at this point in time. I mean, it's 2016, for fuck's sakes. You know what I mean? Like, why? As Jared said, he likes cooking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He should be allowed to do that. I mean, there's some girls that I've come across that are much bigger slobs than I am. You know what I mean? And typically you would expect... a woman to be, you know, neat and tidy and all of that stuff. And when you walk into her apartment, her clothes are laying all over the show. She's got dishes in the sink. And you're like, wait, you were just like me. You get what I'm saying?
You still slept with her though, didn't you?
Don't play with me like that. What you talking about? Anyway, for now, I actually want to go into this voice note that a friend of mine sent me. We're going to be doing this periodically throughout the show. Since a lot of guys couldn't make it through to the studio. Plus, you know, we should put limitations on how much testosterone is in here. Anyway, so I've got a clip here, a voice note here from a friend of mine. His name is Dumelo Chilwane. And this is what he thinks about women in 2016.
Women in 2016 and the new generation women as a whole have become social disruptors. They've shifted society's paradigm so much, and they actually haven't noticed how much of an impact it's had. For instance, women in 2016, or new generation women in general, they no longer want to view the man as a sole provider or the head of anything, because, you know, nowadays women can provide for themselves and they can head their own. But what they haven't noticed is that in this newfound definition of the new generation woman, they actually haven't defined a role for the new generation men. To me, that's tantamount to social catastrophe, because now nobody knows what role they are playing. you know.
Tantamount. Did you hear that?
Big words.
Big words, man. Big words. Okay, well, let's jump into that, right? 50 years ago, a woman couldn't not be a CEO or a business owner. I mean, she 50 or 60 years ago, women weren't even allowed to vote.
Or drive cars, for that matter.
You know what I mean? Till this day, there's certain countries.
Yeah, there's certain Arab countries that don't allow that, yes.
So within the society that we live in, with all the freedoms that we have and you know, women being allowed to do what they want to do, chase whatever dreams they want to chase, is there a specific role that men should be playing? Like, can we still put in brackets what men should be doing and what women should be doing?
I don't think on a grand societal level, but in each relationship between a man and a woman, mm-hmm. or a man and a man, and that, I mean, it really doesn't matter, because if you look at a unit, like the family unit or the couple unit, you'll pick up what, okay, so I'm stronger at doing this.
Yeah.
Someone else is maybe better at taking care of the dishes. I don't like washing dishes, so I'll cook. And then you wash the dishes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it all comes to balance. If you can just find a balance that works for both of you, then there shouldn't be any issue.
Yeah, there has to be commonalities, you know, and things that you can't do everything by yourself.
For sure.
And we can't do everything the same way.
Yeah.
Because then it's tantamount to social collapse.
But I mean,
it's
kind of a you know, a sore point in a sense, because I mean, the way I was raised, for instance, I mean, I grew up in a house like my dad was the only male in the house, right? The rest of them was my grandma, my aunt, my cousins, all of them were female, right? And I was not allowed to do certain things. Like when it came to cleaning up the house, I was not allowed to do that. Instead, I was told to go cut the grass. You get what I'm saying? Now, when we are raised in that type of way, how do we change that mentality? How do we now, you know, sit in a room with a woman and say, okay, you don't like cooking, I like cooking, I'll cook, you do the dishes. How do we make
you
that?
You pick it up, man. Like in
I don't think it has to be a whole like sit down, write a contract.
There's no lesson plan for it.
you give it off, man. It's an energy that you give off.
Yeah.
And you will know what you need to do. You will know what your role is, unless if you're being blind to it and deliberately so.
Yeah.
There are, between the two of us, like we know, I know what you can do and I know what I can do.
Yeah.
And I will never try to sort of overshadow you in what you're strongest at. And I think sometimes with us men, the fear is being outshone. And, you know, like I suppose what he was saying is that we're a bit lost. Being the supporting husband is very difficult. And we don't know how, we haven't learned that skill, how to do that, how to be the supportive husband, boyfriend. And because we don't have that skill, you don't know how to sort of sit back, not necessarily sit on your hands, but not be as aggressive as you've been brought up or been taught or picked up from other places. So being that supporting factor to having her being the stronger one is something that we're not very good at and haven't learned. So I think that's really the major issue.
How do we change it then? How do we fix such things? I mean, I can understand if we're going to, you know, come up with, how can I put this? Like small answers, like, okay, it's just between you and your wife or whatever, the family unit and whatnot. We, unfortunately, our society is much bigger than that. You know, we can't just be saying it's between you and your wife, or you get what I mean? Like, as generally, as a broad society, how do we get from where we are now and as in the way that we as men view women? How do we get from that to being the supportive husband, to being the husband that stays at home while the wife goes out and does all the work? How do we make it socially acceptable for men to do that?
I think the more men that we see in these type of roles, the less strange it'll be to see a man staying at home, picking up the kids from whatever activities they have after school.
Carrying a baby on his back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just something that... And we... now we're living in the time where people are doing these. So I don't expect that the next generation, like our kids, I don't expect them to feel as shocked by any of it as maybe we are, or the generation that's, you know, just one generation older than us. But I mean, I think like what Neo was saying about taking a step back, there's nothing wrong with if your other person is at work a certain time and you're not at work at that time. There's nothing wrong with, you know, doing some laundry or preparing some dinner for later that day, or just cleaning the house, or, you know, if you're not doing anything, you need to always be doing something constructive.
Yeah.
No matter what that role is, you all have roles to play in, say, now, like, in the house. I think the house is just an easier way to just wrap our heads around it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if she is at work from 8 in the morning till 1 o'clock in the afternoon, or whatever her work hours are, if you're not, it's easy to just put a couple of loads of laundry in, just do some washing, do the dishes or whatever.
I like what you're saying in terms of we need to show it more, and more conversations with young men, because those are the ones that we can still influence.
Yeah.
Those discussions, like thorough, detailed discussions, like, listen, there are differences, yes, but don't be predisposed to being just a man. Like, that is just your role. Do that. So showing it more, and being confident actually about showing it. And us older ones, when we see those men in new positions, you know, a guy who's a cleaner or whatever the case may be, name calling, man, putting you down for, you are doing something with your life, or you've learned a new skill to survive in this earth. So we can't put you down for it and call you names. Oh, look at that girl, you know, oh, ladies, oh, this and that.
Yeah.
All right, so what type of men should we be in 2016? What type of man is a 2016 kind of man? If we can break it down somehow.
He's got lots of mat. No. Jeez, man.
Because, I mean, from what I gather from what you guys have been saying,
yeah,
like, we're talking about, you know, different types of understanding from the male perspective. You know, a different way of looking at things from the way they were and the way they somewhat still are today. You know what I mean? How would we define a man in 2016? In any sense, from what he does for a living to, you know, is there a specific role that we should be putting him into? Or is it a, you know, do what you want, man.
Know your time and place.
I think a good place to start would be somebody who's open to continually learning. You can always learn something.
Yeah.
So continuing learning and being able to admit when you've made a mistake. Because I think for a lot of the time you're like, oh, no, it's like, no, I'm a man. I can't admit that I was wrong.
Yeah.
So admitting that you were wrong is a big step towards learning as well.
Being comfortable and open to change. Being comfortable in, as Noah said, being comfortable in things like the roles that you play.
Yeah.
Knowing when to fit in here, when to do that, and being okay with that as yourself. Not saying, what are other people going to think of me? What are other people going to... Just, so what? So what if you pick up the kids from wherever? You know,
I can... If they are like 50 and 60-year-old black men listening to this, they are cringing right now. Like, what the fuck are these kids talking about, man?
What I don't like, actually, about those 50 and 60-year-old black men is that they have these conversations about women. They've learned about life and marriage and living with another person.
Yeah.
But they have those conversations together and they don't tell their kids how women are. Because, I mean, there are vicious women out there. There are savages out there, man.
Yeah.
They will break you. They will fucking hunt you down and break you.
Literally.
But they don't have those conversations with their kids, teaching them how to be around women, how to be with a woman, you know? But they keep those conversations exclusive. I think there's an age barrier mindset thing, like, I'm fine, you're too young for this.
You
can't talk to you about these things.
I think as well, it's about when you consider how these people were raised, man. Like, how, like, the history, our history in as far as how we've treated women, both black and white, Indian, colored, no matter, like, just men across the world, you know what I mean? The way we've treated women in our history is just, it's disgusting. Like, there's no two ways about it. There's no ducking and diving or whatever, you know what I mean? And a lot of them still hold on to those fundamentals that they were taught by the people that started all this bullshit. You get, you know, and it makes it very difficult for a person who's in his 50s or 60s to even engage with someone our age in such a topic, because what they know is your woman is supposed to cook, clean, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? Like, I've got uncles who refuse to eat the food if it's not put on a tray, and
hey, the tray life.
You know what I'm saying? Jeez. And I personally feel if you're hungry, get off your ass and go grab the plate. You know what I'm saying?
Why must it be brought to you on her knees? Why?
I actually knew someone who...
It's about to get juicy.
No. Her father was such that he would go to work, come back from work, and sit on the couch. And he would wait for his wife to get back. He wouldn't make himself a sandwich, regardless of how hungry he was. He would get back, sit on the couch, and wait for a female to serve him.
I feel like that's such a 50s lifestyle, man. Like,
it is.
Nobody should still be living like that. Like, if
I think
you are
he
hungry,
is in his 50s, to be honest with you.
It's such a weird thing, man. Like, I can honestly think, I think I could not exist back then. You know what I mean? Like the amount of noise and rubbish that you're hearing from different directions. Because what is it that men do that women can't? Like, what, piss standing up? I don't think that's even an achievement. Yeah. You know what I mean? Anyway, we're
they
gonna
can
jump
do that
into
too.
They can, oh they can
you
yes
get the vices the shiwi
the shiwi
yeah they can do that too
there's
yeah,
shiwi
they've invented things for that.
Okay, can you tell me about the shiwi? I don't know what a shiwi is.
It's like a cup and a straw. You can pee in the woods. You can pee wherever you want to pee now. I mean, if you're a woman.
There you go, man. Who would have thought? Who would have thunk it? As I said, 50 and 60-year-olds, you're in trouble now.
Considering the amount of rape that happens in the world, having to squat, you might just squat down on a dick as a woman. So it's better to have a shiwi, I think.
Yeah, I think the women should all invest in a shiwi. All right, we're going to go into another one of these voice notes. This one comes from Sibusiso Phakathi, Zulu man. You know what I mean? He might just throw a curveball that we've been waiting for.
Women in 2016 will stop hanging around in passenger seats of GTIs and VIP lounges of clubs they can't afford. I'm tired of women asking me what car I drive when they have no car of their own. Get your own, man.
Get your own shit, bruh.
Get your own shit,
you ain't
man.
Doing nothing.
You ain't doing nothing.
Yeah, you entered this club for free anyway. God damn.
God damn, man.
You pay for shit the whole night.
So, okay, let's jump into that. Like, there are, as much as we'd like to speak of, you know, the go-getter woman, the woman who's changing, you know, the paradigm of, you know, what it means to be a woman.
There are hoes out there.
There are some bad seeds, man. Like, there's decent guys like us who'll ask a girl out on a date instead of raping her. But there are bitches out there, like, you know,
savages
and all of this stuff. How do we communicate to women in a non-aggressive way, but in such a way that we, you know, end up with women that we want to spend the rest of our lives with? Like, is there a specific message that we should be putting out to women as to what it is that we want as men in 2016?
It's definitely not a 3 billion rand anti-blesser campaign. It's not that. That is not the way to do it. There are much better ways to spend my money.
3 billion. Can you imagine?
Ooh, wow.
Shit.
Ay, ay, ay.
I get the feeling that a blesser came up with that.
I think you avoid those women.
Guy is going to bump into her.
Actually, I don't think those women get married. I doubt they get married. I doubt they
You'd
ever
be shocked.
They
the problem
settle
is
down.
They even if they don't get married, they're still reproducing. So they are still somebody's
making
mother.
More of their own.
Exactly. So
and then who is gonna teach that child? You know?
I think this might go back to what we started off with earlier was how does the household that you grew up in, How does that affect this? Because you're not born a hoe.
Yeah.
There are dogs and cats, is what I'm going to say.
Yeah, you're not born a hoe. We're all, guys aren't born blessers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If, like now.
Set a hoe free, man.
With being raised by all women as Noah was, he could have turned out as a womanizer. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It does.
You think I'm not?
It does factor in.
We're hoping you're not.
Yeah, for the sake of our friendship, we're hoping you're not. It does factor back into when you look at something like the background of a person, that to a certain extent does influence how they treat the opposite sex.
Yeah.
If you're raised to respect a woman, if you're raised to respect a man, and I'm not talking that whole, oh no, you must bow down before someone, just mutual respect, you know? Like, don't be a hoe.
Do you know what? Like,
and not a hoe in terms of like a woman. Like, guys are hoes too. You get guys that are just
I've
as
been
ho-
a hoe. Preach.
You get guys that have just been as hoey as women. You know
okay,
what I mean?
I was with you up until you brought us into this.
No. You gotta be impartial about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, for sure.
Just
for
don't
sure,
be
for
a
sure.
hoe.
Yeah.
It's not that complicated. We were having a conversation about it off air, and Jared was making a very simple point. It's not that hard.
It really isn't. It's not. It's all about self-control, man. It's about, you know, just keeping your shit to yourself, basically.
There you go.
Exactly.
All right, but I mean, there's rapists. Not all rapists come from bad backgrounds. Let's face that. You know what I mean?
But something along the line. You don't wake up one morning and decide, you know what? I think raping someone's going to be a good idea. Something along the line breaks.
Yeah.
Something breaks. Whether it be in the way in which you were brought up, whether it be in an experience you go through, something breaks you or something inside is broken and that causes you to go down that avenue. You know what I mean? We all know it's a dark path. We all, the four of us sitting here, know it's unacceptable.
Yeah.
We don't condone it under any circumstances and it's just unacceptable.
Do you know, I wish we could have hunted down a person who went to prison for rape and maybe got out and we'd sit down and talk to him and ask him, what the fuck were you thinking about? Like, what went through your mind at that point in time? Mm. You know, like, I don't know about you guys, but when I have sex, I want the person that I'm having sex with to enjoy it as much as I...
To want to be there with
you.
You
know what I mean? Yeah. It should be this whole thing. And if it is a bit violent... We must have planned it.
Whips and chains, you know? Kind of violence. Not like, let's file police cases afterwards.
Yeah, man. I mean, if we're role-playing and I break into the house and I'm a robber.
Okay. That's
role-playing.
Whoa.
It's role-playing. I mean, some people have weird fantasies. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just the way it is.
Like getting hit by a car or something.
Getting hit by a car? No.
Hey, you're the one that's breaking into houses, Jack.
No, man. I mean, you know... I break into the house, take off my balaclava, you realize, hey, he's kind of cute.
He's actually kind of cute. It's okay. He can rob me and okay.
He can.
Suddenly it's okay.
You know.
And then on the way out, he can just grab some of the silver spoons that mom like keeps in that drawer.
Yeah.
Right? Then
yeah.
It's okay.
Put on my necklace. Why not? Mm. You know what I mean?
And role play if your mother-in-law.
No. No, but I mean, if obviously, if it's discussed and you've got safe words and that kind of vibe, I think it's okay. You know, pineapples, man.
Sex should be exciting.
So what's a safe word in a robbery situation?
I don't know. I'm calling the police.
Look, I've never done it before. I'm just saying that, like,
oh, no, you sound like
some
you
people
much
have done it.
With it.
No, I've spoken to some people who are in those kind of relationships, you know, and they're like, yeah, man, hell, like he just broke into the house and you know.
And then took his balaclava off and he did it on the kitchen counter.
Yeah.
Next to the cutting board.
You know?
I've actually read an interview with a panel of female comedians, American female comedians.
Yeah.
And they were talking about sex at some point. And one of them said, you know, she wants to be surprised. She wants to be raped. Like, fuck around and rape a girl.
Okay.
Yeah, but like it wasn't planned kind of way.
When has rape been planned?
The raper.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So which was that? There are women out there some people out there who want that energy. I suppose, like you were saying, in terms of
the thrill of the adrenaline rush. I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, we don't all get our juice from the same place. You know what I'm saying? We get different kicks from different places. That's all I'm saying.
I was throwing around the word hoe just now.
Yeah.
And you brought up the word bitch.
Bitch, yes.
Yes.
I wanted us to get into that, actually.
why did you bring that up?
No, but I mean, like, okay, look, once upon a time, in our lifetimes, actually, calling a woman a bitch would have been the worst thing you could have ever done to her. Well, not necessarily the worst thing, but like ever say to her. You know what I mean? Hmm. Nowadays, you've got women saying that I want to be a bad bitch. You get what I mean? Like, is it something similar to what the Americans did with the word nigger? Or should we be calling women bitches? Are there people in your mind that you could classify as a bitch? What does bitch mean to you?
I don't actually know what makes a bitch. Would it be the amount of men that you've slept with? Or would it be, you know,
your attitude?
Your attitude, your mannerisms. I don't actually know what makes a bitch.
How do we, you'd have to first then define. And
let's do that then.
But then it's different to every person.
That's basically what I'm trying to get out. Like, let's define the word bitch and whether it should be used or not.
I've got an idea in my mind about a basic bitch, which is, you know, Uggs on, tights on, Starbucks in your hand. I'm a guard type of thing, but I mean,
yeah, I actually know someone that fits that exact description.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, where it comes from? Like, I would think if we are going to be literal about it, bitch is a female dog. Now, a female dog will have sex with anything, be it the son, the cousin, whatever. You know, because dogs don't recognize those type of, you know, relations. They don't think it's a problem, you know? So when it comes to human beings being called bitches, I think for me on a personal level, I would say a bitch is just an unkind person. Like a person who goes out of their way to make everyone's life a misery. Difficult. You don't have to be, like whether you sleep around with people or not, I really don't give a fuck. Here's my thing. I don't think we should be calling people that sleep around a lot bitches or hoes or whatever. I just think they've got friendly pussy. That's okay. I think that's okay, right?
Friendly neighborhood pussy, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Whatever you decide to do with what is between your legs is your business.
Yeah.
That should not be a concern of ours.
Until you start catching syphilis and other things, right?
But still, that is your business. If you burn, you burn, okay? I've got no problems with my urinary tract, okay? Like, I've got nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? My thing is, I personally feel that they're male and female bitches, and those are the people that go out of their way to make everyone else's life a misery. That's how I would define the word bitch. And I reserve that word for those kind of people.
I'm inclined to agree that it's someone that's vicious, that's unkind.
Yeah, I don't use the word very often. I don't feel it necessary. But as you say, there are those people that you look at and you're just like, but why must you make life so hard?
Bitch.
Why must you exist for the sole purpose of making other people that unhappy?
Yeah.
Just general asshole-y behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are good bitches out there, though. You know, in the attractive sense. Like, damn. Like a bad bitch. Like, she's a bad bitch.
Please, someone explain this bad bitch thing to me. Please. Put me out of my misery. I need to know what a bad bitch is before I call someone a bad bitch and get in my ass slapped. Someone, please.
I think there are a lot of people looking for them. But, I mean, I couldn't tell you what it is.
She's a bad. Like a Rihanna type of woman.
What is a Rihanna type of woman?
But like, what makes her so bad?
That's what I... What? Okay, look, you've got two words there. You've got bad and bitch. I know what bad is. I've just defined bitch.
So
put
together,
these things together.
They mean
what does it mean?
Really horrible person.
This has to be like the Hitler of all bitches. You know what I'm saying? That's what you're saying to me when you're talking about a bad bitch. Like, what is a bad bitch?
The type of woman that you don't hang on to. That you don't get attached to. Yeah,
that you mentally condition yourself. I'm not going to spend the rest of my life with
this
woman.
Yeah, she's not here for you.
She's not here for the rest. That's where what Jared said earlier. You have contracts in place for that. Contracts, safe words, that sort of shit. You know? Just like, as Noah said, don't get attached. The moment you get attached and she walks away, you're going to sit there and you're going to be hurt and you're going to be crying about it. And then it's
a flame.
But I mean, that means from what you guys have just said, that means Rihanna's destined to be alone for the rest of her life.
And I think she's perfectly happy about that.
She doesn't seem two-faced.
Yeah, she'll just go around from dick to dick, friendly pussy.
Yeah, but I feel like there's some guys that would know how to handle a bad bitch.
True.
I think there's some guys that want that type of girl.
Yeah, no, it's what you said earlier, Jack. Different strokes for different blokes. Some guys are into that sort of thing. Some guys are into a boring girl. Some guys are into... These things happen. That's why there's so many different types of relationships.
Yeah.
There's so many different types. You can be in a long-term relationship. You can be in a short-term relationship. You can have one-night stands. You can have open relationships.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So different strokes for different blokes.
All right, cool. We're going to jump into another one of these voice notes. This one is from Sboni Solituli. And let's hear what he has to say.
Jack, how's it going, man? This is your boy SBO, and I just wanted to share my thoughts with you about women in 2016, given that it's August, you know, Women's Month. But anyway, yes. So how I feel about women in 2016 is that women have really evolved from what they used to be back in the day to become more of our equals today. You know, we see them becoming ministers, you know, see them being in very strong positions. And not only on a political level, but also on, you know, in relationships, they're becoming dominant in relationships. They're becoming a dominant force in organizations. You see them actually doing very well in sports as well, you know, and I think that's a very great thing. And it's a bit scary as a man looking how the future's shaping up. But more so, man, it's a very great thing that we're now starting to recognize women as our equals. Deservingly, seeing as they are making very hectic moves. But there's also a flip side to that, where women today have become very superficial. Women have become very, they feel very entitled, you know? And just because you're very beautiful and you've got a gorgeous body doesn't mean now that you deserve certain things, that you deserve to live in a certain bracket, you know? You should work for that. You should want those things for yourself, but you should work hard for those things, earn those things, you know, go to school. And when you do get a degree, work hard. You know, it's not just men that always have to work for things. You as a woman as well, because it's a reflection of what you think of yourself and also a representative of where you come from, you know. So I also, even though we're talking about women, I feel that men also condone this behavior, you know, because we want to bless girls. You know what I'm saying? Just because they're pretty and you want a nice woman, you want to bless them. But at the same time, a woman is very shallow when they do those things. You know, those behaviors should be eradicated. You know, we should be focusing on changing that behavior in the youth, man. You know? So yeah, dog, that's how I feel about women. But all in all, I love women. I love y'all ladies. You know, and shout out to your boy if you want to holler at me.
I knew that was going to come in there.
So holler at me, girls.
I knew that was going to come in at some point. Like, he had to throw
holla
in.
Holla at your boy!
Holla at your boy. Yeah, my number is 073. Shut up.
I think we're like, just afraid.
I think so, too.
Because women are more open about how what they want.
How they feel.
How they feel. In terms of being superficial and wanting things and feeling entitled, they're just more honest about what they want you to give them. And if you can't give me that...
Then they're willing to find someone who will.
Exactly. Fuck off.
Is that a good or a bad trait? Is that something that we should be championing? Or is it something we should just switch off?
It's courage. Do it. Know your value. It's knowing your self-worth. Know what you're worth.
But you also need to go out and provide for yourself as well.
Yeah.
Just being pretty and being at a club is not providing for yourself or your family.
Yeah. And we need to stop making those things okay. I mean, if you look at the club example, guys get charged more to go into a club than girls.
For sure.
And in as much as, yeah, you don't want to be having a sausage fest in the middle of a club, it's an attractive marketing thing, but that's where it starts. That's where something like a woman feeling that she's entitled to being bought a drink. Yeah. Some women buy their own drinks, you know?
Then we also get men feeling, I bought you a drink, now you owe me something.
Precisely.
Yeah.
That's the other side of the coin.
That's where the rapists start.
What do we then say to women who actually go to these places? Because, you know, it's... They're not paying to be there in a sense, and they wouldn't necessarily need to pay the whole night because there would be men there who can.
Yeah, but if you're courageous, and you want to be courageous, then be courageous in all respects. Don't be courageous when it's convenient for you, and then when you get to a situation where you want to be bought drinks, then suddenly you're not as courageous to speak your mind about it, but someone else must buy you a drink. If you're gonna be courageous and out there about it, then do it. Go out, buy your own drinks, do your own thing, whatever. As Noah said, it's courage. And it should be encouraged.
The thing is, I mean, from the way things have been happening, I might be wrong about this, but more often than not, women actually buy their own drinks, right? It's
like
it's,
one yana.
No, not one yana. Like, I mean, consider how many girls you see at a club on any given night, right? And more often than not, there are a lot more women than there are men. And there's no way that those men are buying all of them drinks. I think that's one of the one misconceptions that we have, that women just go out hoping that some dude will buy
drinks. This is not all women now. This is not all women.
Yeah, I'm
but
just
the majority.
There's a group of women that do that. There's a group of women that sit and they actually strategize.
You
bring this guy, he'll be able to buy us these drinks. When this guy leaves, you bring this guy. And you'll get five different guys that are there, and it's okay. I actually had a conversation with a woman about it.
Yeah.
And
I have two multiple.
Yeah. And yeah.
I've been out with groups of women, and they're like, and they go without any,
yes, without their hand
or anything,
yeah,
just
with that intention. And the you ask a woman why, and her response is, well, if you're gonna want to buy me a drink, I'm gonna take the drink from you. Do you see? So if you're mentally walking into a situation where you're saying, you know what, it's okay for a guy to buy me drinks and this and this and this, but at the end of the night he mustn't expect anything. Double standards?
No, but I mean, when did drinks equate to sex?
No, they never have. They never have.
The issue comes in with the entitlement. Entitlement is the problem.
Mm.
You mustn't feel entitled for me to buy you a drink.
Exactly.
And I can't feel entitled if I bought you a drink because I've chosen to buy you a drink. I can't expect anything after that. Entitlement and expectation is where the problem comes in, I think.
You know, unfortunately, these things aren't written on people's forehead. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I'm entitled. Okay. I'm going to stay away from you. Thanks. You know what I mean? You know, there's so many things to consider. Like when you're out at a club and you're actually there to have fun. It's kind of weird. Like, I mean, why? Number one, why are we as guys going out to clubs trying to get laid? Number one.
Why is that on the agenda?
Yeah,
why is going to a club to get laid on the agenda?
Why is it part of our experience? Why did I leave the home with condoms in my back pocket?
Because
and
I was going
to
get lucky
to splurge on a couple of girls to make sure that I get laid. Yeah. Why is it that? Why is that the case?
The guy who brings the girls to the party is always a hero. Be honest.
Oh my God!
You can bring the girls to the party. You're a hero.
Yeah, you are. But one of my producers just said, because we are horny bastards. I don't. Do you want to join us in here and say it in front of everyone? That's what I thought.
Man, and it's a very dangerous thing to do, to go out and seek women, especially in club situations. Because a lot of men don't really monitor the women that are in that club and why they are there. Because sometimes that can lead to you ending up in dangerous situations where you are being robbed.
Or you're hitting on someone else's woman and you're being punched.
And you're being punched.
These things happen.
So going out to find pussy at clubs, it isn't something that we should do, but it's the easiest medium to, it's the easiest access that we have to women. You know,
yeah, how you doing, babe?
Yeah, exactly.
Can I get your numbers?
Yeah.
Oh,
you and your wingman, you and your boys just there together. It's the easiest access and the easiest way, the likeliest way that you might get laid.
Yeah, but then
it's a high percentage.
Do you know what? Like, as far as my experiences, like, are concerned, right? Like, every time I've gone out with the idea that, okay, I need to get myself a chick tonight. It never happened. Meantime, when we go out and have a good time and let the night play out as it does, 9 times out of 10, we go home with smiles on our faces and wake up with smiles on our faces. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, maybe it's just a personal thing for me, but I really don't think we should be going out to clubs hunting for women. Like, that should not be on our agenda. We should be going out to clubs to party with people that like the type of music we like, period.
The only time I've ever gotten laid after going to a club was when it was my girlfriend and we went there together and we left together and we knew before we got there
that
what was going to happen.
That would be the biggest, like, that would solve
count.
Everything.
It doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
It doesn't
I think
count.
It's not getting a
it
girl
doesn't count.
And
that's
then you're going home.
Yeah.
You didn't pick her up.
It is the only time I've ever gotten laid when I left the club.
But you were going to get laid whether you went to the club or not that night. It doesn't count.
No. She wanted to dance.
There you go.
We had to take her to dance.
There you go. You know what, Jared? I agree with you on that one. I wholeheartedly. It's like, it's so awkward.
You
man.
Are so moved by this.
Yeah,
you
man.
Are in your field.
It just puts me off, man. Like even, I'm not saying that women don't go out to clubs trying to get laid either. I'm sure there's tons of women that like go out and like, yeah, I need to jump on someone tonight. You get what I mean? It's just,
I was actually in a taxi this morning with a woman. She was sitting next to me, and she happened to be typing in full view of everybody. So it's not like I was eavesdropping on her conversation.
Yeah,
or
yeah, okay. Yeah.
It was on the big screen in front
yeah,
of me.
Yeah,
she's got a very large cell phone.
Yeah.
So the conversation, she's having a conversation with one of her friends or whatever, and the conversation seemed to have just started, and she says to her friend, these exact words, "I need a juba."
Okay.
And I think, two or three messages above that is a picture of like a blesser guy.
Okay.
Typical guy GTI type of vibe.
Yeah.
And so just, I don't know, I might have completely gone off the reservation there, but just off seeing that and you saying to your friend that you need a juba, that sort of thing, you can already, she was dressed in a slightly
revealing way.
So from that already you can see that's someone who on a Friday night is going to be texting you saying, listen, Jared, do you want to hang out? And then Jared's like, hey, let's go hang out with this girl. That time she just needs a ride and a wallet so that she can, you know what I mean? She needs a ride home and a wallet for the night, and she's not willing to use her own.
You know, like, you actually just brought up something that I'm happy you did, because we would have gone over, like, the way women dress. Right.
Mm.
I read an article, I think last year, in the States, in certain areas of the States, women were asked not to jog during high traffic times because
accidents occur.
Yeah,
a lot,
you
more.
Know, seriously, statistically, apparently, you know what I mean? They, you know, fender benders seem to happen when women jog around 4.
Because you forget that your left foot is on the clutch.
All of that nonsense. Now, my thing is, because of how we view women and the type of women we see on Instagram and social media and all of this stuff, like, should we be affected at all by the way women dress? Why does it matter how they dress? Like, if she's in a mini skirt and all of this stuff, why does it seem like she lost points with you as far as respect is concerned?
Or like,
but if she's on Instagram,
it's okay,
she gets
certainly
a like. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she gets a like.
Should it affect us? Yes. Does it? Yes. I was watching Entourage last night, and there was a scene where they were sitting in a restaurant somewhere.
Yeah.
And these women, sort of out of shot, walked by. And I said, no, 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 no. There's no way. They didn't stop the conversation to look at those women because of how they were dressed.
Yeah.
They were very seductively dressed. Can I say it? Yeah. Seductively dressed. They looked good.
Okay.
But it seemed impossible in my mind that as a bunch of guys sitting there, they wouldn't turn around to appreciate those women. So yeah, it does affect us.
Maybe they were just too focused on their grind, man.
Nah.
No, but I mean,
grind. That's also,
you know,
a grind.
Like, can you imagine if women were just as vulgar as us? Like, you've got, maybe you've got a pair of shorts on and you're wearing a vest and you walk past and oh shit baby, hey, how you doing? You know what I'm saying?
The brokenness, like, of the male mind though would find that a turn on. Like, if you had to catcall a woman, she'd be offended.
If she had to catcall,
like,
you,
if you got catcalled, I think you'd be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get some tonight type of thing, you know?
So it's just about how the different sexes view this.
Yeah. I was very happy to feel wanted by this one girl. She wasn't very attractive. but the fact that she looked at me in a way, and that day,
she gave you those eyes.
I stepped on them that day.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I looked good. Yeah. Okay, haircut and everything.
Yeah.
But the way that she looked at me, it was so fulfilling. It had this upliftment about it, like, damn.
Okay, yeah.
That, when you have that kind of effect on another person without even having talked to them.
So, and they look at you like, mm-hmm.
Let me come rip on and take on.
You know, it's because I can only imagine. Like, I mean, our fashion sense is not the same, men and women, and we don't put on the same type of clothing. But I mean, you've got women that will put on a pair of jeans, and you know, she's got a fantastic body.
She'll look better than someone that put on a miniskirt.
You know, and I mean, for her to just walk through a, like, the city center or a very high populated place is sometimes a strain on a lot of women.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, for the mere fact that we've made society like that for women, I think that shit needs to change somehow. Look, I don't think she has to know that you appreciate her with, you know, how you, you know, say your things in a vulgar way. Like,
well, yeah, you don't have to be vulgar about it. I mean, you don't have to catcall a woman. You're more than welcome to just stop a woman if she's walking or something. Just be like, hey, listen, I think you look really good today, and just move on with your day.
But what makes you think she wants to hear your opinion?
She doesn't
she's not dressed to get people's opinions. Maybe she just feels good about herself
and she's on
her way to work. Exactly. And you're taking time away from her catching the train or getting to her car.
Yeah, she doesn't need to listen to my opinion. But I'm saying, if you feel that strongly about wanting to convey to this woman what you think of the way she's dressed, do it in a polite manner.
Do it.
You don't need to whistle at her. Yeah. You don't need to whistle at her. You don't need to stalk her. You don't need to ask for a number. No. There's nothing wrong with stopping a woman and saying, listen,
you look great,
and not asking her for a number.
I've actually, I was telling my friends that that's what we need to start doing, because I feel like we've known for too long, like, now it's like, you are my sister. You know what I'm saying? Like, we needed to meet more women. And I was telling them, look, from now on, you see someone who's attractive, walk up and be nice, be polite and all of the stuff, and just say hi, I think you look nice today.
It's not that hard to do. Don't do it expecting anything.
Yeah.
Don't do it with okay, look, now I've complimented you, now I want your number. Or now I've complimented you, now let's... No. Just...
Let a compliment be a compliment.
Exactly. If we want it to be appreciation, just leave it at that.
Don't be offended if she is offended by what you say. Just take it as what it is and move on. You don't need to say anything back. Oh, now you're a bitch or whatever.
You know what?
I'm sure if you say it politely, she won't be offended. I don't think I've ever complimented a woman and she's taken offense to it if it was a genuine compliment.
It helps that you're just really good looking, huh?
Oh, man. You know what? It's been so much fun. Like, we've covered so many different things. I hope the women don't hate us after this. Like, we tried. I tried to keep these guys in order. I hope we didn't, you know, step on too many toes, because stilettos are hard enough to walk in. No.
We were all raised by our mothers. They would not have allowed that.
Yeah.
So
all we're right,
all
man.
Raised fine.
Gents, how do we keep up with you guys on social media?
On Instagram, I'm Jared, JARRED_ACEUIS.
JK _MOYAHA.
All right. At Van Given.
Shout out to all my bitches.
We just spoke about that word. Oh, man. We just clarified that.
Anyway, it's been so much fun hanging out with you guys. Thank you so much for coming through. And just like that, we out of here. Suit Up Edition is done.
This is CliffCentral.com.